Blog Talk Radio.
The merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst in this day and time, and it is my distinct honor and pleasure and privilege to be with you once again and greet you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, sir. And I'm going to now turn the show over to our beloved host, my brother, my friend. I don't know what I would do without him, but this is a man who has dedicated himself and his life to the practical application of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So once again, it's my distinct pleasure to bring to you our beloved brother, Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, O Queen, and thank you so much for that introduction, and always thank you for the opportunity to serve, because indeed that's what this is all about. You know, if we're not serving, we're useless. But as we always do, open to your talk, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Jews, and the Mahdi of the Muslims, and in the name of his servant, his last messenger, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of the divine reminder, yes, in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I would like to greet you, Queen Aziza, everyone in the listening audience, anyone in the chat room, with the greeting words of peace and paradise we say in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
And welcome to Conscious Black Nation. And as our beloved sister said, that's what Conscious Black Nation is about here. We are here to provide information that everyone can use to take the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, to take the words of God, regardless of what scripture you may choose to study, and you can take them and apply them in a practical way in your life. And what we mean by that is that you can take it in your everyday life and you. I mean, what's the point in teaching quote-unquote high spiritual principles when it doesn't help you feed yourself every day, when it doesn't help you walk a clean path every day, when it doesn't help you or show you how to treat those who are around you in a proper manner, when it doesn't help you to obtain some of this wonderful, wonderful world, and I'm not talking about this world, but the world of Almighty God, of righteousness, when it doesn't help us to produce that in our walk, in our everyday life. I mean, what use is it? Well, tonight, as you know, anyone that knows, on this show, we don't waste no time. We will roll right into the topic. Our subject is, in the tongue of women, is life and death. And our subject is taken from, initially, first and foremost, you will find this in the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, our topic again tonight is, in the tongue of women is life and death. And the reasoning for that, behind that, is this. I've noticed myself, and hopefully anyone that's aware will notice, particularly among us in the Nation of Islam, we have the FOI, we have the MGT. In general, out in the public, you just got men and women. And remember, this is Conscious Black Nation. Not that we're against anybody else, but charity begins at home. So the thing is that based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as he has told us, a woman, particularly the black woman, has the power to either elevate her man by her words or to either tear him down to nothing. And with all the time that we have had these teachings, with all the time that we've had positive influences from Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, W.E.B. Du Bois, all this time, we've had all these wonderful individuals. However, as a people, we have not risen to the heights that God has for us. And evidently, there's a problem. One of the things I see and I can, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, is that one thing we're lacking in is the proper communication between the man and the woman. And sisters, whether you know it or not, I'm going to say it again, you have the power to uplift this man and put him in a position where he can bless you and bless all of us. But it can't be done by destroying him. And so on our panel tonight is our beloved sister, Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad. Hopefully others will be joining us. And Queen Aziza, the first question I have for you is, how do we hurt one another every day with our words?
Wow. I think it starts with, prior to the word, prior to you saying anything, hopefully you're thinking. But even if not, what is spoken comes out of the abundance of the heart. So I think it comes from when we're not recognizing the value of one another, when we don't have that self-love and that love for one another, we don't even realize how our words are like adhesive strips, how they stick, you know, how they remain. Even if you say something that you don't mean, you could ask forgiveness, but that word is out there and you can't take it back. So it starts with perception, in my opinion, on how we look at ourselves, how we look at others, and just by our obedience. You know, we want to treat people the way we want to be treated, but in this day and time, what is more prevalent, it appears that we want to be treated well, but we don't necessarily want to extend that courtesy to others. And that's on all levels, whether it's a personal relationship or whether it's just your everyday brother or sister that you see walking down the street. You know, we don't have that love and that decency and respect for one another that, of course, is in our nature to have. And that's my answer to that question, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I agree with you. I mean, that is the case. But now I want to just touch on something, though. I mean, and I'm sure anybody that's, quote-unquote, conscious or studies things, we've heard about or it's been touched on what they call Willie Lynch or the Willie Lynch letter. Okay, and in that, though, dealing with that, it talks about the fact that whoever this Caucasian was, I mean, because some people want to say he didn't exist, the bottom line is whether he existed or not, we see the evidence of that particular philosophy because we are divided along all lines. But one of the main things that he spoke about was the fact that as long as he could keep us divided along the lines of gender, the man and the woman, that it would be self-perpetuating, that we would literally keep ourselves enslaved by it being impossible for us to unite because we were always accentuating what we consider to be the differences. Now, that being the case, and then with our first question having been, how do we hurt one another every day with our words, I want to share this. And this also comes from the Bible. This is in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, and it reads, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boast of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell." For every kind of beast and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And now, having read that, I want to ask you, Queen Aziza, okay, when you hear those words, particularly the last part, like I said, does a fountain give forth sweet and bitter? How did you see that? Because, like I said, we, on the one hand, will turn around towards, I'll just use this as an example. As Muslims, we pray five times a day, so we may stop at the appointed time, let's say, for Asr prayer, the afternoon prayer, the late afternoon prayer. And we make the prayer speaking all these wonderful things about God or to God, and then we'll turn right around and cuss out the person next to us. I mean, what is that?
Well, that's what you call a non-believer. And why I say that is because in all of our activities and all of our behavior on a daily basis, if we in our hearts truly, truly believe that Allah is real, number one, that He's all seeing, number two, we would not do half of the things that we do. So as we have been trained to believe in this false God through our slave masters, when we did get the truth of God, we still don't really believe. And that's evident in our day-to-day actions. You know, you can say that you believe, but then to demonstrate your belief is something totally different. So that is what has happened and what will continue to happen, because we as a people who have been constantly fooled throughout our tenure here in the hills of North America find it hard to believe anything and anybody. And oftentimes we attach ourselves to organizations, groups, churches, whatever it may be, whatever may sound good to us. But when we start to really align ourselves with Allah, that is when we become conscious of our behavior, and that's when we realize what striving for excellence is. But when we say we believe and we turn around and do everything contrary to our faith, and it doesn't matter what your faith is, if you believe in God, just the one who created the heavens and the earth, if you truly believe in that, and if you believe in the power of God, you will conduct yourself on a very, very different level. But, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for some to know that Allah God is real, but I think when that realization of God, when He makes His presence known to everyone, there's a scripture, I think it says that every knee shall bow. So no matter what you're bowing to now, when that realization comes, you will know, and He will make Himself known. It's just what condition are you going to be in as a person? How did you treat your fellow man when that particular time arises? And so that is why we are taught to strive for excellence in our day-to-day lives, but we first have to have faith and believe.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. And I do want to remind the listening audience that if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see it, and we'll bring you into the conversation. And that's what this is about. It's about participation. We want to know what everyone has to say, what they think about this subject, in the tongue of women is life and death. And just on that point, I want to ask
you. Yes, and they need to come on because I don't want to answer all these questions by myself, so I need some help. I just wanted to put that out there.
Praise be to Allah. Right, you heard it. You know, the sister requested help, so whoever's out there, you come on, because as Muslims, we don't stop from the work. But
that's right.
However, since it's you and I right now, we're just going to have a conversation. That's fine. Just like in the title. And it says, in the tongue of women, not just because we read earlier out of Proverbs where it talks about the fact that just the tongue, that member, in it is the power of life and death. I mean, what does that to you mean? I mean, give me some meat here. What does that mean to you when they say in the tongue is the power of life and death? I mean, I thought they said that only God had control over life and death. What is he talking about?
Well, just like a lie is the mother of murder, because a lie murders truth. A lie murders factual information. The tongues of women can be very, very brutal. And so when we speak harsh words with such vigor and such emotion behind our voice, like I said, once you put a word out there, you can't ever get it back. And you never know how a person is feeling. Now, I attribute it to relationships, because more often than not, that is when the so-called, what I call the brutality of a woman, is really reflected. But anytime that you speak to someone, you never know the status of their spirit at the time. So whether you're killing joy, whether you're killing hope, whether you're killing inspiration, aspiration, or whatever, you can never get that life substance back from that person. Now, the person can, of course, recover and renew. However, you murder someone's spirit, someone's inspiration, someone's joy, and that is all capable of being done with just mere words. So you never realize the impact that it may have on someone's psyche or their emotional state. And I'll give you a perfect example. You know, a lot of times, especially our men go through hell in this society, in this world. Being a black man in particularly, when you have so many things coming against you. Now, if a man has a true desire to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be a good provider to his woman, and then for some reason, whatever the reason may be, he falls short, he's already beat up in his spirit. And if we as women, in our dissatisfaction, express it in such a way to whereas we show that we have no faith, that we are not being supportive, that we are not being encouraging, that is worse than what he gets on the outside. Because when a man comes home, he expects that to be his sanctuary, his peace, where he draws his strength from, the strength to go out and fight another day. But if he got to go out in the street and fight, and then he got to come home and fight, that wears on the energy and the inspiration of any man, of any person. So we as women have a tendency, more so than men, to be verbally brutal, because physically we can't really, I know some might try, but we can't really beat a man, so to speak. And that's not a way to take out your frustration, but we use our mouths. We use our mouths, which is more deadlier and more hurtful than our hands could ever be. So I'm gonna put a pin in it right there for right now.
Ma'am, all praise is due to Allah. All right.
I don't want to give it all up at one time.
Now, I did, of course, look up those two words, and the first one, death, and it reads like this. It says death is defined as a permanent cessation, that means to stop, of all vital functions, an instance of dying, the cause or occasion of loss of life, a cause of ruin, the state of being dead, that which is unreal and untrue. Now, that's the definition it gives for death. Now, since we're discussing the fact that in the tongue, in general, is life and death, but specifically in the tongue of women, is the power there of life and death. Since we're discussing that, and it just describes death as all those things, I want to take this one particular definition it uses. Says a cause of ruin, and build on what you were just talking about. Now, that being the case, I want to ask you this. How important is it? And just as you mentioned, like you say, for the black man, I'm a black man, so I know what it's like. I mean, it is really defeating for us. When, just as you said, we got to go out here and we got to fight the world. We got to scrape and scratch to gain just an inch in all of this. And then to come into a place that you call home, to be with someone whom you've taken, and you all have come together, but you've taken to be your helpmeet, as the scripture says. And then, as opposed to receiving comfort, the first thing you hear when you walk through the door is how bad their day has been. Not that that's not important, don't get me wrong, but you hear how bad their day has been. When, as far as material needs are concerned, and I know this may not be, it's not a perfect scenario, but as far as material needs are concerned, these things are being taken care of. See, I know the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made the statement. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes the statement. He says that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that 75% of his work is with the woman. And then the question is asked, sister, do you understand how important that shows how important you are? Well, if 75% of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work is with the woman, and we are in such condition as we are, what is that saying? You know, and my question to you is just that. If 75% of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work is with the woman, with the black woman, and you all's words, and we have to understand that words are not just what is said out of the mouth. A word is anything that transmits or imposes an idea on the mind of the individual. Then how does that relate? I mean, how powerful does that make to help me?
You asking me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm asking you at the moment.
Well, you know,
you have a
first
question
of all, let's get this straight. You know,
yes,
ma'am. I think it can be perceived in one or two ways. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that 75% of the work is with the woman, you know, a lot of people hear that and say, wow, the women, and particularly, are burdened down. But let's just take it this way.
Yes, ma'am.
That's for y'all. And, you know, you have to understand that if we were created to be, and I don't like to use the language because I don't want nobody to get it twisted, but to be subservient to you, or to be a comfort to you, or be submissive with you. And that you all as men are to maintain us, that 75% of your work is with the woman. And I'm going to tell you how that's evident. Because we can look at the prison population right now today. And we can see that if you did a survey, most of the men who are in prison, they're in prison because of something they were trying to do to gain a particular status to please a particular species of human being the black woman. Whether
yes,
you were
ma'am.
Trying to get a car to get attention, whether you were trying to get some stacks of paper to let a woman know that you're qualified to take care of her or whatever, everything that a man does is centered around the woman. In a man's nature, in his environment, a man does not necessarily require all of the comforts and luxuries of home, all those soft and gentle feministic type of things. Those things are created for the woman. So there's an environment that has to be created for her, excuse me, in order for her to be what she needs to be for you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think that's, you know, that's the reality that we have to look at about that particular statement. And I'm sorry, I'm trying not to sneeze. Hold on.
Go right ahead.
Oh, this, I got a lingering cold. But anyway, you know, that's the way that I look at it. But in this day and time, there is such a great degree of dissatisfaction with our economy, you know, with our spirituality, all across the board. There's a great level of dissatisfaction, and in that dissatisfaction comes a great frustration. And there's a trial, and we're all involved in that trial. And so we see now more divorces today than ever before, you know, especially amongst our people. And so a lot of that comes from us not even knowing the basic principles of the proper handling of people. There's more division amongst our people. Forget the personal relationship. Our people are still divided. And that's because if you ever walk down the street and say, I don't like Sister So-and-so, or I don't like her, you know, why? Because when I was in the sixth grade, she did this. Sixth grade? And you 40 now? You see what kind of resentment we can harbor, and how over the years we can speak negative about somebody from an experience that we had in our infancy, and we're still carrying on in that foolish way. That's a learned behavior. Because we as people are not really trained to treat one another that way. And if we're talking about atonement and forgiveness, certainly something that you done in your infancy when you had no better knowledge should easily be forgiven. But we harbor all this resentment because we were taught to. And so even though it's not our fault, it is our problem. So and when we're building families, excuse me, in these personal relationships of ours, when we're building families, the worst thing you can do is start a family and have it torn apart by the blatant disrespect. You know, when the father messes up or whatever happens, excuse me, and you talk against that father in front of that child, you are killing something. But right now, Brother Kareem, I'm going to get to one. I'm going to let you take these two questions.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. All right, we have a question that's a caller that's been holding quite some time. We're going to come to you. Area code 314. Your mic is live. Area code 314. Your mic is live. You got a question or a comment? Have you called 314? Okay. All right. We're going to go to our next question. Area code 770. Your mic is live.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I enjoy the dialogue. And what happens when you, the question is like, I understand that that we have issues sometimes when women can use that thing that they got in order. I know what the sister was saying about how we can actually be influenced by wanting to go and get these fine things, finances. Sometimes it's the ego. We want to impress our boys, but sometimes I think we get hemmed up as men when they use, well, I say sexism, far as us, we can discriminate towards our women, but also we can actually allow sex to control us through our women. What would you guys comment on that about?
Okay, you saying, okay, now, go right ahead, Queen Aziz.
Well, you know what, that's very true. Sex is a powerful and motivating force of nature in itself. However, if you revert back to or go back and reflect on the fact that, you know, God gave man the dominion in the earth, and he also has dominion over woman. Now, a lot of people get that twisted, because when they talk about dominion, they also reflect on, you know, domination and control. But when you have been given dominion over every beast of the field and of the earth, then you have to realize your own power. And so, you know, if you are one who has not mastered your desires, which I'm not at all saying that it's hard, easy, brother. I know it's not easy to master something that you greatly desire. But if it's not beneficial to you, in other words, that if she's, how can I put it, accommodating you in the bedroom but beating you up outside of the bedroom, that's not beneficial to you. So men have to learn how to come forth and be gods. And so as you master or try to master everything else in your environment, know that the woman, to a certain degree, has to be mastered. A woman has to be protected from herself. When we hear the story, and I know a lot of Christians, I'm going to try to take it from the Christian perception of that. I don't know if I'm going to do good, but I know that they talk about Adam and Eve, and they talk about Eve in the garden and how Eve was deceived by the serpent. Well, we know the serpent was some old slick Negro, some smooth-talking Negro. And so, you know, when she was deceived because of his power and persuasion over her to go against God, the Creator God. So when man talks about the sexual power of a woman, oh, you brothers got it too. Like Nelly say, y'all got pimp juice. You know, and that's the absolute truth. And I don't mean to be vulgar, but if you look at it, the oldest profession in the world is prostitution and pimping. Well, what makes a woman go out and sell her body for a man and bring him the money even when he's not looking? And he can get her to a point to where he doesn't even have to watch her. He know that if the money drop is at 3 o'clock on the block of 25th and Lenox Avenue or whatever, he knows she's going to be there. Why? Because of the power of persuasion. But when in the 1930s, when the black man started to be forced to be extracted out of the household because of the depression and because of welfare and because they decided to feed the men and the women and the children and not the men, the men lost their place and they lost their moral authority over women. But you brothers have to step up to the plate when it comes to that, because what good does it do you to feel good on one side and get kicked in the behind on the other side with the same individual? That's not the desire or the order in which God created man nor woman. So I hope I answered your question, dear brother.
Can you, once you got also the other side, as far as if you are the person, he or she, being controlled sexually, but I was talking about how some men have insecurities as far as with the side that's called what I was talking about, the sexism aspect, where we want to be so protective over our women that we feel like they can't lead or anything like that due to sexism.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about that. I just know that if a man is protecting a woman, I hope he's not in the process of primitive thinking, a caveman thinking, where a woman has, you know, has to be dumb and ignorant, and the only thing that she's good for is making babies and cooking. Women are always supposed to be educated. There's a certain thing of protecting a woman. If a man is insecure about his woman or his ability to protect her, that's something he has to deal with. You know, and it might be from what I'm from, and I could be wrong, brother, I could be misunderstanding you, but if a brother is insecure in a relationship to the point to whereas it's having a profound effect on him and his ability to function as a man, then he don't need to be in that relationship. And he probably don't need to be into any relationship until he's secure in himself. And in his security of himself, he'll know how to choose a mate who is compatible for him.
Well, yeah, along those lines, yes. But also, like where... When you were saying about how a man has lost his place, I felt in history a lot of men have decided to, because the white man did accept the women in a lot of the workplaces, and even though the man felt he lost his place, and even though the woman did was really mouthy and stuff like that too, but he decided that he wanted to oppress her and prevent her from rising, because a lot of things that happened during those times, a lot of us... a lot of our ancestors during the past decided that they didn't want their women to even work in those environments, but they had to. But they were very insecure towards those women because they had to work in those environments were acceptable by white folks, but then the black man wasn't necessarily accepted in those types of environments.
Right, and that's where the process of debriefing comes in. And I know a lot of brothers don't even know what I'm talking about. But I tell you, I thank Allah for my first husband, who made it a point to debrief me on a daily basis from corporate America, because he, as a man, noticed a change in my demeanor, that I was becoming independently strong in a negative way. Forgetting his place, forgetting my place, because our paychecks were equal, so I didn't have to play my part anymore. And so not that I even was consciously doing it, but just being in that environment. And so there were things that he was saying very lovingly to remind me that, you know, he was my husband and that I was working because he allowed me to. But at any day, if he felt that it was not beneficial for me to be out in the workforce because it was extracting from my personal self as well as from my family, that he could pull that card at any time. So there were a lot of ways that we interacted with one another to debrief one another from the madness in society. And that was just by simple conversation. It wasn't any domination or control or anything like that. It was just to keep the focus, but that's the work of the man. So when we talk about, again, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stating that 75% of the work is with the woman, he could very well be talking to you. Because to maintain that woman and protect her from herself is a job. And that's why, if you remember back in the day, or even sometimes today, when a woman got caught what they call frolicking around with another man, the man is the one that got attacked. Why? Because he has the power of persuasion. And the man, he might be mad at his woman, but he knows that this snake then crawled up through his window or through his door or whatever and has manipulated the thinking of the woman. So I'm hoping I'm giving you a clear answer, brother, and if not, maybe Brother Kareem going to have to help you out.
Well, now it's clear. It's all good. But, yeah, I enjoy the dialogue.
Thank you for calling.
What's your name, brother?
Say it again.
What's your name? Who are we speaking with?
James Hunter from Atlanta, Georgia. I follow this sister down because she come in on my conference lines, and I met her through Brother Alvarez, and I think she's a powerful person, so I decided to come in and check out her lines.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Brother James.
Right.
Beautiful. All right, I'm going to take another question now or comment. Area code 314, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Who am I speaking with?
This is Brother Gene, sir.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm sorry. I apologize for the earlier, brother. My phone is just going crazy. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Jesus.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Gene. How are you?
Oh, by the grace of Allah, I'm just doing fine. But, you know, I'm sitting here listening to the conversation, and It just brings back to me that how much we are definitely in a world of hurt. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. Because if you look at the marriages that are taking place today, it's most of them are 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, you know, some 60-years-old. That marriages are taking place. But as I look at the youth on an everyday basis, they're not even thinking about marriage. So I say that to mean that the enemy has really, really done his job, and he's done it well. And for the minister always said, the woman is the key. And when I'm out there soldiering the final call and I meet a sister, my words to her is stay beautiful. And don't settle for less. And we cannot go no higher than the woman. But it's so much work to do out here amongst our women. If you look at our youth, and look how the enemy has just put his hands right in it. He gives them a low-income apartment to tell them no man can't stay there. So if you look at the youth, the young women, they're having kids, but going to the root of it all, we got to go to the root. Most of our women has been inflicted with wounds that have never healed. And when the Bible talks about that the man is the woman head, but it also says, and Christ is his head, So what we have to do as men, we got a lot of work to do. And you made a very interesting point. We have got to become what we are. We got to become one with God. And when you become one with God, you don't fear a damn thing. You go out here and conquer this world and keep a clear mind and become the man that you are supposed to be by nature. Then you don't have to worry about your woman coming in with bass in her voice. We have just got to become the men that we were created to be. We have fallen short as men. We have definitely fallen short. Once the woman see that she fearing the man and he's a little timid, man, no woman don't want no timid ass man. Stand up and be a man, and she will respect you. But Satan said he's gonna come at you in your straight path. So the minister always taught, he taught years ago, you have to figure out who you're in the bedroom with, who you're in the boardroom with. I mean, but our women, we've got to elevate that woman. But I just looked out here, and I was talking to a young brother yesterday. He came out to the mosque yesterday, and he's a convert. He's coming over from Sunni Muslim, and I met the brother last year. And we just decided to just stand out and talk, you know, while the other brothers sold you the final call. And this brother was 22 years of age, and that was his whole focus. He said, I want to come into the nation and become with the Nation of Islam because I realized, he was in the Orthodox Muslim, and I used to see him over on the south side with his headdress on, and we talked. I never, condemned. We never even got into a dialogue or anything like that. But to cut a long story short, this brother, 22 years old, we standing out there talking. He said, I want to go after our women. He said, because our women is the key. And I'm listening to this from a 22-year-old brother. So we have got a lot of work to do. We've definitely got a lot of work to do, but we've got to become the man that God created us to be first. We have fallen short. As minister always said, we have failed our children, and as a black man, yes, we have failed our women too. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
All right. Thank you, Brother Gene. Appreciate that. All right, I'm going to take one more question. Area code 347. Your mic is live.
Hey.
Have you called 347?
Peace, everyone, peace.
Sir?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes,
sir, who are you speaking with?
This is Brother Efron. How's everyone this evening?
Oh, wow. I'm alaikum.
Ever so blessed. Ever so blessed. I am
so
sorry.
It's been so long, Brother Efron. How are you?
I'm all right, sister. I'm so blessed this moment because I get a chance to hear beautiful sister break it down. You're making me happy, girl. So hey, black woman, keep on talking. I see you recognize
so long.
The war. I'm happy. I'm really happy to hear this whole topic, the conversation. I'm happy to hear the woke minds that are responding to it. I'm proud of each and every one of you. A great number of them don't know me personally, but I am your brother. I am a part of you. I am truly and spiritually, wholeheartedly, I'm proud of the topic. It is in desperate need. This is the raw reality of the war which we are up against. And I ask a great number of people, when you get a chance to look into Proverbs 31, when you go to Proverbs 31 and you get the full intellectual ability to understand the psychological concept of it, you'll understand how important we are to each other, but how powerful she is. How powerful she is. Do you know that when I'm down, she will pick me up and dress me so that the public will forever see the strength of the man in me because of what she represents being inside me? When you get a good chance to look. Yeah, when you get a chance to really study it and understand it, you'll also understand that when you hear him say it,
he says it very clearly. He said, I didn't come to change the law. I came to fulfill the prophecy. He pointed you back to Moses. When he points you back to Moses, he's telling you that I am not separated from those of them that worship the Quran. I am not separated from those of them that understand the biblical content of the Bible. I am not separated of the laws of which God has put down through us through Torah. I want each and every one of you to understand it from day one, that when you say Jesus, you're saying exactly what he's telling you, the laws that you have to live by that makes you more than an animal. That is the only thing you have. If you don't have these laws, if you don't have the principles, if you don't have the respect for the ideology of these laws, then you have no higher regards than animals. So you'll perform like television, and today your ceremony will have the wedding, and tomorrow you'll have the highest level of divorces, you have the highest level of marriages, broken relationships, and the worst part about it is I reduce you so low, being lower than an animal, that it doesn't even bother you. It doesn't even bother you. You can walk up and introduce your children to five different daddies at the same time, and it doesn't even bother you. It won't even bring a tear to your eyes. But when you become morally conscious enough to understand the raw reality of what it is to be a woman, when you understand the woke reality of what it is to be a man, then you'll understand, number one, the raw reality of the war, the true strength to keep it and fight to maintain it, and then able to understand that we'll see it. I mean, we will really see it. Oh, my God, she is so beautiful. Even when she get on my nerve, even when she make me sick to my stomach, when she becomes my partner, I could not let her go because I can trust her. That's the only thing that gives us divorce, when you can't trust each other anymore. When the respect is no longer there, then the divorce is already taking the floor. Erection moments will make you believe that you can still deal with her from time to time, but before the night is over, you really can't wait to go in another direction. So I'm really enjoying everything that we're putting on the floor tonight. And again, like I said, we are a people in war. More so than any other ethnic group of people, we are a people in war. And I tell you another thing. You know how the brother talk. I appreciate each and every one of you with open ears that are listening. The damage that they did to us from the slave trade, it makes me really fight my tears right to this day, the more I understand it, because it went from one generation into the next generation to fight to be able to maintain it, and then we turned around and became it, just what they made us when they were selling us like animals. We have become that all over again, and that was a part of his plan. So whether they say Willie Lynch or whether they come up with it from all the different angles they choose to do so, I just say I pray to God that you intelligently, open up your mind, open up your ears, and see it for what it really stands for, and do not give birth until you give a foundation of honor, a foundation of pride, a foundation of some sense of dignity that they can be able to maintain from one generation to the next. Otherwise, realistically, otherwise, compare yourself to the puppies. I reassure you, the puppies were out. They will overvalue. They will outdo you. They will literally make it very clear to you that as you having the sex, so am I. As you breeding, so am I. The only difference between the two of you and I is that I don't have to feel bad about that family tree falling apart.
Yes, sir.
Did I lose everybody? I'm sorry. Did I lose everyone?
No, sir.
All right. Everybody got kind of quiet on me, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't lose everyone. Like I said, a great number of people. Oh my God! Like I said, I fight as hard as I can to maintain my tears, and this is only because of the conscious mind of a man that recognizes the true war that we're up against. It hurts so bad inside. It really does. We can see it. And the more we see it, the more it hurts. So,
sir.
And like I said, whether it is the Quran, whether it is the Bible, whether it is the Torah, whatever it takes, the historical books, whatever it takes psychology, whatever it takes to tell the world that you are a true human being on the highest level of what any creative, intelligent mind, morally upright mind can be. Be it. Please be it. Now, I got another thing I'm going to put on the floor, and I'm going to leave you all alone, but I need you, sisters, to open your eyes up real widely. Open your eyes up. Please, please see it for what is really going on. Satan is not playing with you. This war has him literally at this day and this time proudly saying that the marriage of those two of the same sex is a beautiful thing. Do you hear me? They are advertising it, making it seem as though you don't have to respect the womb anymore. You come out of your mama womb, and now you can walk like your mama, pretend you are your mama, and as a matter of fact, you can find even pleasure in being a part of that that gave birth to the womb, that gave life to you, that turned around and made you believe that you are a human being, that got you breathing. So now you're walking around here trying to prove to the world that you're just as feminine as she is, you're just as beautiful as she is, you're just as pleased as she is, and yet you still breathing as God intended for you to breathe. Now, I asked every one of them. A lot of them don't like me, and that's why a great number of people don't invite me as a guest speaker to a lot of great places, but I don't care. When I put it on the floor, I tell each and every one of them, we all have one religion. We have one religion, and they call it inhale. You will breathe as I breathe. You will stop breathing as I stop breathing. Your religion, breathe. When you don't have your religion, you stop breathing. The raw reality of it while you're breathing speaks for itself. Now, I tell each and every one of them, if you really believe, for those of you that still have some brain anyway, psychologically conscious mind, if you really, really believe that you have just as much right as that gave birth to you to want to stand up and say that you are performing in the same manner when you actively doing what you're doing to that of the same sex with you. If you really, really believe that, then promise me that if death comes your way, that you will tell death no more, for I am stronger than you. I am no longer going to submit to what God made me. I will live beyond it. Oh, yeah, and do me one more favor. I won't age. When I reach the stage of a certain age where I feel strong and healthy and beautiful, I remain to be that too.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, everybody got silent on me.
Okay.
No, I have my phone on mute, brother Efron, because I have a terrible cough and I don't want to be coughing on the air. But no, brother, I'm just absorbing everything that you're saying.
That's right.
Sister, you can call for me. Stop playing with me.
Huh?
You can call for me.
Well, it is definitely so good to hear from you again after so long. What a blessing
all
tonight
praise.
To hear from you, Brother Efron.
Yes, 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 indeed. And I mean what I just said. You can call for me, sister, in the middle of this conversation, because here's the next blessing. If you were deceased, can you call? If you were in your grave, can you call? No, you can't. So keep telling us how alive you are. Keep on telling us how alive you are.
Yes, sir.
Talk at me,
yes,
baby.
Sir.
You know
thank
your brother's
you,
a little
brother.
Twisted in the mind. Thank each and every one of you.
That's
I really
all right.
Appreciate
we love
the
you
time
anyway.
Of mind. Thank you. That's a whole lot of love. I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank each and every one of you. And again, like I said, when the stage is set and the floor is there, all you have to tell each and every one of them, there's a man, they call him the street educator. We're going to go there, and we're going to get him.
Yes,
at
sir.
Yes, sir.
I don't mind. Stop breathing at that very moment. I ain't got nothing against dying for the cause, in other words. So.
Yes, sir.
All you got to do is, just like
absolutely.
I said. All praise is due. All you got to do is set the stage, and I'll come running the best way I can. I'm a poverty-stricken child, so it's kind of hard for me to make moves, but. Like I said, a minute of a donation to be able to help a man be able to pay his bill. And I'm on the next thing floating. All you got to just call me while I'm still breathing. This is the only reason why I tell each and every one of you, this is the only reason why the Creator has left me breathing in this world today. Otherwise, I would be a ghost already.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Efron.
Thank you. Thank you. And did you send me my hug?
Sir?
I'm talking to the sister right now. Did you say me my
hug? Oh, yes, sir.
Nah, brother, not you. I want to shake your hand. I want to shake your hand, brother. You know me and you supposed to meet up because we both New York. We both New York, brother. We supposed to all praises to the Lord. We supposed to have been in shook hands by now.
Else, brother,
the sister owed me a hug.
He's from St. Louis. I think you got him mixed up with Brother Jason.
Oh, all right. I thought the other brother from up here was still tied in with you as well. I'm sorry.
No, we hadn't heard from him in a while. He's still around, though. All praises due to Allah, but he's doing other things. But, no, that's not Brother Jason.
Oh, okay.
It's Brother Kareem out of St. Louis.
Oh, okay. All right, brother. It's a pleasure to meet you, brother.
You also,
I'm over here getting on your nerves. All praises due, brother. I'm over here getting on your nerves and just now meeting you for the first time. I'm sorry, brother. I had you mixed up with the other brother.
I mean, when we all together, I mean, you know. It's just
time. Yeah, we are truly all one. That's for sure.
Right.
We are truly all one. No question about it. You do have a very powerful, beautiful black sister working with you, and I am proud of it. I am truly proud of it. I enjoy every bit of her strength, maintaining her sanity. Oh, my
wow.
God. You're doing a
thank you.
Job. Yes,
thank
indeed.
You. Thank you so
do.
Much.
Thank you,
Brother
all right,
Efron.
Thank you, very
I'm going to back up and leave you all alone. My ears is open. I'm going to leave the floor for those of the other listeners at this moment.
Sir,
yes,
praise be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you. And on that note, this is the next thing that I do want to share on our subject, which is, in the tongue is life and death, more specifically, in the tongue of women is life and death. This comes from Message to the Black Man, page 101. It's the section entitled The Devil. And this is the first paragraph on page 101. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, "You are letting the devils fool and disgrace you and are taking you to hell with them. Your God Allah will be happy and will rejoice in feeding, clothing, and sheltering you if you believe. The Bible teaches you that he fed and sheltered Israel in the desert, Exodus 16:12-15. Fear not, Allah God is with us. The enemies of Allah and the righteous are leading you only to evil and indecency, as the Holy Quran teaches you and me. They are pulling off your clothes and showing the world your shame, and you think it is right. They are used to going nude. They have nudist colonies here in America to prove it. 4,000 years ago, all of Europe was a nudist colony. And your little daughters are being brought up to not be shy of indecency. You have them stripped to their trunks, all because the devils invited you to wear such styles of theirs. You all being, this is to tempt the black people in becoming sharers in their doom. Your common sense teaches you that God does not approve of such filth. This should also bring you into the knowledge that the religion Christianity, so talked and preached of by the white race, is only a bait for you to swallow to become the followers of them, the enemies of God. Your loving and sweethearting with them only means that you are in love with the devil in person. And you are courting death and hellfire. Believe this or leave it. Read Holy Quran, Surah or Chapter 7, Ayat or Verse 27. O children of Adam, let not the devil seduce you. As he expelled your parents from the garden, this was done by the father of this race, Yaqub, 6,000 years ago, pulling off their clothing that he might show them their shame. He surely sees you as his host." And having read that, I want to move to this question, Queen Aziza. Are you there?
Yes,
you
I'm
right?
here.
Yes, ma'am. Just want to check. All right, the question is, now I gave a definition from the dictionary of what they describe death is, and we focused in on that part where it says falls of ruin. I want to ask you now, in your view, what is life?
Wow. What is life? Well, life is something that is constantly producing or reproducing itself. It's not just the basis of living what we call like sucking breath all day long and not bearing any fruit. In our creation, we were put here to bring forth life into the world, not necessarily when it says, I think in the book of Genesis, it says, be fruitful and multiply. It didn't say just go out there and multiply and have a bunch of dead souls running around, but to be fruitful in the process of your multiplication, and that's bringing life. Well, how do you bring life? You have to bring substance, and what is that substance? That substance is the knowledge of God and, of course, the knowledge of self and the obedience to God and the submission to God that makes your life, your purpose for being here successful. Oftentimes, you know, we are just here merely existing, but you have to realize that you have to be worthy of the physical life. And what is the evidence that you've ever even been here? Well, you can't create generations if you're not creating life. But now we have to question, what kind of generations are we creating? What kind of children are being reproduced into the future? And what are we building? Or what kind of life are we giving them? And how are we structuring and designing them? Are we designing them to be submissive to God, to be everything that Allah called for us to be? Or are we allowing the devil to shape and mold them as he has shaped and molded us, you know, by robbing us of the knowledge of God and self? So life in itself is an energy force that is constantly reproducing itself.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Right. I mean, I cannot argue with that. That is a very astute, and I would even say perfect definition. Now, I'm going to go to Merriam-Webster. You know, they do an all right job. Now, this is how they describe life. The first definition they have is, they say, the quality, and it goes right with what you just said, reproducing here. It says, the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. And vital or vitality is exactly what you just talked about, is the fact that it's not just being animate, not just being in motion, or not just producing bodies, like you said, a dead soul, but you have to be producing something that is going. In other words, we can tell it's alive by how it moves, by its activity.
Right.
The second one it says is a principle of force that is considered to underlie the distinctive quality of animate beings. You know, and they want to get fancy again. Yes, it's that energy, it's that power, it's that force that the Honorable Muhammad called that mysterious force. Nothing spooky, though. Now, the next thing it describes, it says spiritual existence. Because we don't want to get spooky. We don't want nobody to get spooky on this. It says spiritual existence transcending physical death. It says the period from birth to death. Then they go on to say spirit and animation, period of duration. And here it says, the origin of it is Middle English or Old English, and it says life or life, meaning to live. Now, life has also been described as love, all right, or love, pardon me, love in full expression. Okay? L-I-F-E, love in full expression. Now, we've also dealt with that word love, and we did determine, I hope, that since we are taught or we hear that God is love and love is God, then we're talking about life, true life, is God expressing himself through the human being, through all the creatures indeed in his creation. Now, that being the case, and we're talking about life and death being in the tongue of the woman, and I don't want to get off topic. I want to get back to that. And we were talking about the fact that we've mentioned that, again, Yahweh Muhammad said that 75% of his work was with the woman, and you so eloquently stated the fact that that means, yeah, that means we got work to do where the woman is concerned. But let me ask you this. When you have, let's say, a brother that is truly striving to the best of his ability to carry out his duty to Allah, to his wife, to his children, indeed to those around him, he's truly striving to carry out his duty to do these things. And he is in the relationship with someone who has said, now they said they came before Allah and witnesses and said they were there to perform this same duty. However, they refused to really get in their place. I mean, it's a sham. Now, I'm just setting up the scenario because, I mean, these are some of the things that we run into.
Uh-huh.
All right. So how would you suggest a brother deal with that situation? I mean, in other words, I'm not talking about someone that just overtly is disobedient. And I know a lot of people have problems with the word obedience. But the bottom line is that we all have to be obedient on one level or another. Obedience does not mean oppression. Obedience simply means, first of all, knowing who I am, what I am, and what my role is in the grand scheme of God's plan. And in fitting into that, we are all subservient on one level or another. And I'm going to say this, and then I want you to answer the question. For example, we have the terms superior and inferior. Now, nobody wants to be called inferior. However, as Muslims, we do everything mathematically correct, or we strive to. Let's say we strive to. So in mathematics, in mathematical terms, you have the superior and the inferior. And in mathematical terms, the inferior isn't a bad thing. It simply marks the place. In other words, on the number line begins, is centered on the zero. The numbers, if I'm not mistaken, to the right of the zero are what you would call your decimals, or it's a point that they are the negative numbers, or the what's called in mathematics the inferior. The numbers to the left are the whole numbers, or known as integers, and they are called positive. That doesn't make them good or bad. It simply denotes their position on the number line. So what I'm saying is using that language, mathematical language, when you have a superior, and I'm the superior now I'm talking about is the man is the head, and then you have the inferior, and I'm talking about now the woman, as being subservient, and I'm going to use that language because it's correct. But again, we're not talking about somebody being a slave, but it means these are the positions that God has set up. What does the man do when the inferior looks for chinks in the superior's armor to try to bring them down a notch, as opposed to simply accepting their role, which will lift both of them up? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think the Quran says, I'm not quoting it verbatim, but I know it said, leave them alone in their beds. So, and I know, Brother Kareem, you're trying to be politically correct with the time. However, time is out for baby language with people. You know, women in particularly have to learn and learn to appreciate their place. There was a thing, I think I was growing up maybe in the 70s, and I'm not sure when it all took place. There was a thing called women's lib, and women wanted to be equal to men to some degree. I think it had something to do with wages because they were doing the same job. I don't know. I'm not going to say that I know exactly what that is. But the impression that I received being a young child for women who were pro women's lib is that they wanted to be equal to the man, not just on a financial level, but wanted to be equal to the man, wanted to have the same authority on all levels in the household, in the street, or whatever, as the man. However, there's a saying that Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
That's
so
right.
When
amen.
You decide to extract from your own God-given femininity because you don't like the language that God chose, one is to be superior, one is to be inferior. Not using it in the mathematical text because sometimes, Brother Hall, one is negative and one is a positive, and nobody, of course, wants to be called negative. So let's just use it as the God intended. One is to be superior, one is to be inferior, but your man, your true man, who has allowed Christ to be the head of him, is also inferior to one.
Come on.
That one that
Come
we're
on.
All inferior to. So to take yourself out of the natural order of things because you don't like being inferior, you want to be a man? Well, I'm going to tell you what, I don't think so. Because if you look at what our black men are going through today, when you look at the prison population of black men alone, when you look at who they are targeting out in the street, when you look at the fact that they're going after your babies as soon as they walk in elementary school, then I don't think you want to be a black man. Or even
Amen.
Put yourself in that position. If you can look at the fact that no matter how many letters he got behind his name, I don't care what school he went to, you too black to work this job. You too black, you know, to live in this neighborhood. And then you have to deal with all of that and then have the total responsibility of trying to maintain your family. So I don't think you really want to be a black man and have all of that pressure on you. But what has happened, the reality is that women have become that man figure, so to speak. And that is by design that she has become that, because they have extracted the black man out of the workforce. We know that. They have extracted him. They have made him appear as though he cannot produce nothing, he's not about anything, and that is the same language that we hear from our sisters. You know, he don't have no money, he don't have no car, he don't have no ambition. Oh, hell no, I got to see what his bank account look like. And these are the auspices in which we are getting married. But if you were smart and realize the game that the white man is playing, what did he say? What did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach? He said the last trick that the white man would use would be what? His woman.
His woman. Come on now.
Okay. So now if he's going to use his woman, guess who his woman is? And everybody is turning around looking for the woman with the blonde hair and the blue eyes. No, you his woman. Because he's taking you out of your natural element, put you into corporate America, condition your mind. It started when you went to school. He started conditioning your mind for corporate America when you were in college pursuing degrees. And now look at you. You're running corporations. But your corporations ain't keeping you warm at night. Your corporation is not giving you children. Your corporation is giving you a false sense of security. So what you do, you get an education. You move about the neighborhood. Why you move your black behind over the neighborhood where the white folks at? Because you don't even appreciate the black man enough to know that even in your own communities, he would protect you if only you would respect him. You have become a part of the enemy. Because you don't stand up and defend and protect the black man. And they say, what in the hell are you talking about? Well, this is what I'm talking about. If in the last day the trick is going to be the woman, then why not take what he has made of you? Or take the opportunities he has afforded you and use those opportunities to enhance or help or uplift your black man so that your black man can be in a position to sit you down somewhere. But no, we have been so hurt. We have been so deceived. We don't trust anybody. We don't trust ourselves.
That's why when you see a woman who
continuously to be in an abusive relationship, and you be wondering why every man she get goes inside her head, because she's secure in that. She knows what to expect. She doesn't look for anything but the hurt and the pain and the abuse. So that's what she settles for. That's a conditioning. That's a mindset. And it's the same thing that he's doing to us as families, as us as community. He's giving us a mindset to make us not trust one another, to make us not want to even live around one another. And if you look at the so-called ghettos of America, as long as black people have been in the ghetto, we should own it by now.
Come on.
Amen. That's right.
Want to build in what they have even so-called given us. Why can't we make the white man shame? If we already know he's written his history 100 years in advance, we already know what he's going to do. You mean to tell me his history is written in advance and we don't know what to do? We ain't got no kind of game plan. We don't know how to operate against the tricks that he has designed for us, and it has been written. And see, that's what you call straight-up pimping, because even though it is written, the white man conditioned you so to the fact that he knows what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do because he has your mind. When Willie Lynch stood on the banks of Virginia, he didn't say, I wanted to change the black man's mind. He said, I'm going to change his nature.
If his nature is righteousness, then he made you unrighteous.
And now you have one that has brought a teaching to you that is going to turn that around. And what you do? You make him the rejected stone. And that's fine. I don't care what you call it. I'm going to tell you like Minister Farrakhan said. I want that old-time religion. Give me that religion that he gave in the garden. Obedience to God is the only religion. They divided the books, they divided the people, and now you think that we as a people are divided because we have different faiths. We're not divided. God's word has never been divided.
That's right.
He didn't speak one thing to one people and something else to another people. God's truth remains the same. We are the ones that change and fail to change. So I'm going to stop
Amen.
Right there, Brother Kareem.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Well, you've already, the next question I had, you just answered it.
I'm sorry.
No, that's bad.
That's
a beautiful thing. That means we're rolling right on point. But I'm going to share the question so the people understand what I mean. The question was, what is meant by hurling the truth at falsehood and knocking out his brain? Well, you have just done an absolutely excellent job of that. So that answers that question.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to share this, and this is out of the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. It's in the surah or chapter in type 7 entitled The Elevated Places. It starts in ayah or verse 189. It reads like this. And as always, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. We seek refuge in Allah, God, against the accursed shaitan of Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. He it is who created you from a single soul, and of the same did he make his mate, that he might find comfort in her. So when he covers her, she bears a light burden, then moves about with it. Then when it grows heavy, they both call upon Allah their Lord. If thou givest us a good one, we shall certainly be of the grateful. But when he gives them a good one, they set up with him associates in that which he has given them. High is Allah above what they associate with him. But the Allah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And with that as the foundation, the next question is this. When we are taught, have you not heard, your word is bond and bond is life, and you shall give your life before your word shall fail. When the two people stand up and take those vows in the marriage, okay, or in the marriage ceremony, let me be clear. When they take those vows and say those words, I've noticed nowadays, they've taken that word obey out of the vow. Now, when we say word is bond and bond is life, and I shall give my life before my word shall fail, and I stand up and I say, till death do us part. But in my mind, I go in with the thought, well, if it don't work, I can always get a divorce. I mean, what have I done? So what does it mean when it says word is bond?
Is that your question to me?
Yes, ma'am.
wow. Well, I mean, it means just what it says. I mean, you know, word is supposed to be bond, which means that you're going to stand by and represent or bring into fruition whatever you promised. But, you know, as 26 years as a marriage counselor, I tell people this all the time. You know, it frustrates me, so I'm trying not to let that aspect of this conversation show. I don't want to show the frustration. But it just irks in my craw about the misunderstanding of marriage and where it begins. Marriage does not begin at the altar.
Come on.
The level of commitment and the level of duty is a decision that you've made prior to taking on the responsibility of even asking for a wife. So before you even ask for a wife, you and yourself have made a covenant with God. Yourself has made a covenant with God that you are going to do right if Allah blesses you with this woman as a wife. You have already made a covenant. It is not about what society thinks of you when your marriage fails and you go to divorce court. That is not the burden. The burden is that you have failed in your covenant with God to carry forth a task that you asked for. And that you accepted. Because every time a man asks for you, don't mean you have to accept it. But if you've gone to the point to where you have been asked for and you accept it and vice versa, it's not the, you can't get to the point and say, well, this don't feel good, I don't like him no more, you know, blah, 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 and it's over. You know, oh, he lost his job, I gotta go. No. Because if you think in your marriage that you're not going to be tried, you're wrong. Because the evidence of sincerity in your marriage is going to always be proven one way or the other. So if you want the blessings of Allah, your marriage is going to be tried. And how will you fare at the end of the day? So we don't take marriage seriously anymore. And please don't talk to me about the vows or some crap that some white man didn't wrote because he didn't took obey out of the vows or whatever. You know, it's just like recently in Washington, D.C. I don't know about the other states, but I do know recently in Washington, D.C., they just passed a law for same-sex marriages.
Yeah, that's all over the country.
And it makes me sick to my stomach how we can so easily conform to the law of the land. But here you are living in a country that will allow in its legal process for same-sex marriages to be legal as if Sodom and Gomorrah did not exist. This same country that says that they're built on the principles of Christianity will allow man and woman to legally go and get a license and legally, you know, sleep together, whatever, whatever they do, as if Sodom and Gomorrah did not exist. Oh, but how has the devil made evil appear to be fair seeming?
Come on.
And nobody is really standing up and protesting against this. They are in the process of making the homosexual. They do it on TV. They do it with television. They do it in the clothes you wear. You can't even go to the store now and buy a decent length dress for your five-year-old. They want her butt hanging out already. So when Allah be like to Muhammad, taught us how to cook and how to sew. He wasn't doing that because he was trying to domesticate us. Because he did that because there was a time where you are not going to be able to find any decency out here.
Come on, teach that.
So now when you talk about your marriage and you talk about you want a husband, well, how are you qualified to be a bride? And what has qualified you? And what has the minister said in these last series? He opened up with Surah 103, enjoin one another to patience and enjoin one another to truth.
That's right.
So now the truth is that you have to make your word bond. Now, am I saying just take mess, get beat up, get mistreated? Absolutely not. When a man has stepped outside of the bounds of his function as a husband, he has broken his vow. And know that Allah loves you enough to allow you to escape the madness. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about why we're getting married. I'm talking about how we treat each other when we get married. I'm talking about us as women and men who are setting expectations and goals for our mate that we ourselves cannot reach, which is totally unfair. I hear brothers say it all the time. I want a MGT. Well, hell, I want a FOI.
Come on now.
And I'm not judging you, but I'm just saying that when we get uncomfortable, that is not the time to run. That is the time to come together, to vow, to be strong, to, you know, make your word bond, to not let the trials of life defeat you, because know that your marriage will be tried. You are being tried.
That's what marriage is.
But we don't believe that Allah is real. We don't believe that he is all seeing and all knowing. We don't believe that he hears our deceitful whispers at night. We just know what we feel. And that's what we do. We react to how we feel. And that's why we are in the condition in our relationships that we are in today. A woman doesn't want to be subservient to her husband. Well, I'm sorry, a man don't want to bump helmets with a football player all night.
You're
supposed to be soft and feminine. You're supposed to be submissive to your husband once you pick a husband that you know is submissive to God. You pick a damn fool, that's on you. But you know what? You need to submit because you asked for it and there you got it. And that's just the truth. And I think, you know, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan and everybody before him, and I'm talking about the ministers in general. Everybody has been walking on eggshells with the language, but I'm not their sister. I can't do that because we are losing our families and our babies every day. Every day. Because they don't have no fathers in their homes. You can't teach them how to be a man. It's not a badge of honor to sit up here and say, I raised all three of my boys by themselves. Well, you know what? You can't punctify a man all his life and then have the nerve to be disappointed in him when he don't function as a man. That's the same thing you do to your men. A lot of women will take on a man. He don't have no job. He ain't trying to do nothing. He's sitting on your couch. You hitting it every day. You know, you going to work. You paying all the bills. And you just got some man up in your house. Well, you can't breastfeed him all day and then get mad because he choke on meat. You haven't set any expectations for him. You haven't adhered to the standard that God has set for you in a man, and then you want to talk about him? You go to your girlfriends and you talk about him. But you don't realize how bad you look because you go right back and snore in his face that same night. It says more so about you than it does about him. So when we talk about allowing Allah to be sufficient for us, it's easy to say. But you have to allow, and that is the word, allow Allah to be sufficient for you. And once you allow him to be sufficient for you, then you can take your time and choose someone that is compatible for you, and then you can take your time and go through the courtship process and observe the brother or observe the sister to make sure that you're making the right decision because you don't want to fail God. You're so busy trying to not disappoint yourself. But you are not the judge of yourself in the last day. There's one that's coming to judge you. And what will he see? What will he say? And what will you do? Give him some lip service, some excuse? Well, he's all seeing and all knowing, but we don't believe that thing. But there's going to come a time when we're going to see that it's real. And it's in that time that we need to be found being correct.
Come on.
So I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters that I love so dearly that you are worth taking your time. You are worthy of happiness. But do not set yourself up for failure. Take your time and choose correctly so that you won't have to look back 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and say, you know, we didn't make it because of this, thus, and so. So examine and know that Allah is sufficient for you if you allow him to be. But he's not, Allah doesn't compel us to believe, so he certainly is not going to compel you to be patient. As-salamu alaykum, that's all I'm going to say.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Okay, well, we're down into the last 14 minutes of the show. I'm going to remind everybody that's listening that is here, you know, this is about participation. Anybody that's on the telephone, if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. Anyone that's in the chat room, if you have a question or a comment, if you will type it in, we will most definitely ask the question for you and get an answer for you, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, anybody there? And, you know, I want to, you know, before we go any further, I want to first thank you, Queen Aziza. I mean, you have, as always, though, I mean, you've been a soldier. You've been walking through this show, carrying this show yourself. But the beauty of it is, and I want to share this, when we think about this, the title of this show has been or is In the Tongue. Come on now, y'all got to listen. Of the woman is life and death. And in my view, Queen Aziza has shown us just that. Because everything she has said, again, in my view, has been life-giving. So we talk about the life-giving teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, I can see life coming through Queen Aziza. And so we see proof of the fact that there's life in the tongue, because there's no way you could have been under her voice this evening and been open and not received the life-giving teaching. And that's just my view on this point. So I want to thank you.
Oh, brother, thank you. All praise is due to Allah. I'm so mad at the listening audience. Y'all didn't come help me out. Thank you, Brother Efron. And thank you, Brother James, for coming and helping me out. But the rest of y'all, I still love y'all, but y'all could have came and helped the sister out, but that's okay. One nation, one love. Uh-oh. Okay, I called somebody out. You got to call Brother Kareem.
You did. Okay, wait. Yet? I got to... let's see. Where we at here? yes, ma'am. All right, let me make that mic live. Area code 813, your mic is live.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sister Gizzy, don't be calling me out like that. You know I'm going to step in the rain.
Who is this? Brother Jihad?
This is Brother Jihad, Amos Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. This is my dear beloved little brother who is the founder of BYC. Oh, my goodness. All the way from Florida. How are you, sir?
All praise is due to Allah. My spirit on top of planet Pluto. I'm really enjoying the show. Brother is doing a fantastic job in moderating, and you doing an excellent, phenomenal job with the expression and the delivery. But I have a question. I don't know if we have enough time, but I have a question. It was something you said that really struck me in regards to the last attack or the last weapon that the enemy would use is
Come
his
on.
Woman. And you indicated that his woman is not referencing his white woman, but referencing his woman with a white mind or being made
right.
after his mind. Now, in the Bible, it said that Pharaoh said, let's deal wisely with them. Kill off the men and let the women live. Is this also
mm-hmm.
an indication? Is this also an indication that the women who will be given that opportunity or to live, that they will too conspire with murdering their own men?
Well, dear brother, all I can tell you is that you're sleeping with the enemy.
Lord.
And that's just the truth. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at the average, and I'm just saying the average, and certainly, please, I'm not referring to everyone because this does not apply to everyone. However, when you look at things like, for instance, when you look at some of these celebrities and they get married, and they get married with a prenup, they're already thinking about ending the marriage and how to protect themselves in the event that the marriage ends. And what they say is that they're doing, getting a plan B or being creative or just preparing. So they don't even have faith in their own marriages. So that tells you right there that they're getting married for all of the wrong reasons. And so even our black women who we might not do prenups and things like that, but when we are planning our weddings and we're talking to our friends and we're coming up with, you know, what if this should happen? What if that should happen? Instead of putting those energies into making ourselves better wives or the best wives that we can be, or how to handle our husbands as far as consoling them, making them happy, making them not want to stray. No, we won't focus on that. But we'll focus on a plan B. So we go into marriage planning to fail. Well, why is that? Who taught us such behavior? Who taught us to look at our black men like that? Is it they are deceptive sex objects? That's a learned behavior. And the white man starts to teach the woman that in college, in higher institutions of learning, in their own little subtle way. You know, you hear these stories all the time. Well, you know, black women, they've made a contribution to the world and they've done this and they've done that. Yeah, they had to. Because you won't give a black man a chance because really and truly, you know that you are inferior to him. So it don't matter what position you take from him. We already know that you are inferior to the black man. That's evidenced by slavery itself. You went and got a black man to build your country that you call America because you couldn't master it, because you didn't have the skills and the knowledge and the know-how and the capability of doing the work. So you will always be inferior to him when it's on his backbone that this nation was built. And you'll never give him the credit. You'll die first. And so the last thing that you reach for is his black woman. Not that you love black women so much, But you know that a black man would turn this country inside out if you really went after the women. So that's why Pharaoh said, let us deal wisely with them. Let us do it in a subtle way. We condition their minds and allow their behaviors and make it their desire to want to be subservient to us so that their seeds would be the one that will survive in the future. So now they're locking them up and killing them. And either one or two things are going to happen. Women going to be lovers of themselves, or either they're going to go with the white man. But the white man plans on getting into the future. And if we know this, why are we constantly, constantly falling victim to the history that has long been written? So, Brother Jihad, I hope I answered your question. I'm sorry.
You didn't only answer my question. You answered other thoughts that I had behind the question.
Praise be to Allah.
Right. Thank you so much, sis. I really appreciate it. I'm satisfied.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
That's my little brother. He surprised me tonight because he's always so shy. But that brother there, he does a magnificent work down in Florida. So, Brother Jihad, we're going to have you on the show. I want you running from me now. I done called you out in public now. So, Brother Jihad is going to be on the show sometime soon. Everybody
looks
forward to it.
That's right. Most definitely.
Thank you,
right,
beloved.
We're down to the last 3 minutes, 50 seconds of the show. Again, I want to thank everybody, first and foremost, who has called in, who has come into the chat room, because even though you may not have pushed that button number one, which we hope you will begin to do as we stay on the air, inshallah, you have still participated in the program. And I want to again say this, and I'm just very briefly in what you just said. I mean, you laid it out masterfully, because that's what the enemy has done. We have to look at what do they call it, COINTELPRO, what they use. Also, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us years ago, back in the 80s, that the same tricks that they use to destabilize governments overseas would be the same trick they would use right here to keep us from rising. And what did they do? If anybody remembers, it was a book, I believe, by the brother Sam Green, and then they made it into a movie. It was called The Spook Who Sat by the Door. And the fact that they had to go, in the movie they made it out that they were dealing with affirmative action, and this one senator wanted to get elected, so he was going to use that as an issue to ride on. But honestly, what they've done is, in their so-called intelligence agency, what allowed black people to actually begin to come into the CIA and to those type of organizations was the fact that they needed black faces and to go in and help them to destabilize the rising governments and the freedom movements in quote-unquote Africa. Well, they brought those same tricks back here. And just as the sister said, I mean, come on now. Those of us who are quote-unquote conscious, right? We under the teachings, right? Well, you can't send no blonde-haired, blue-eyed female in to come at me. You got to send in a covert agent, somebody I would never expect. And I'm standing there trying to figure out why we ain't making no progress. Why? Because he has indeed used his last trick, our woman with his mind. However, when we are on our job and on our post, when we are practicing these teachings uncompromisingly, we can defeat that too. So again, I want to thank everybody who has been here, who has shared their time with us, for taking time out of your busy day and out of your busy life to come and talk with us. And wait a minute here, I think.
Yeah, we have one more question on the line.
Is that 323?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to bring them on. 323, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
The Bible says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And so I wanted to listen what the subject was about and what everyone had to say before I attempted to make a statement. I wanted
yes,
to
sir.
Make an I wanted to make an assessment first. So no doubt, you know, again, I've learned, I'm sure the radio audience have learned from everyone. And with that said, this is just from another angle. And I've looked at it for many years. No doubt we have outside forces that are coming at us or people with ill will. They exploit us, they manipulate us, monopolize resources, things of that sort. But the greatest power is literally within our hands. It's literally within our possession, within ourselves and among ourselves. The ability to take charge of our own lives. There's a saying in the Nation of Islam. It says, take charge of this post and all temple property in view. So the post, again, is the individual development, the development of character, of responsibility, having a sense of self and setting goals, things of that nature. When each individual, whether it's an individual or family or members within the community, decide to take charge of themselves and build on their own capabilities and utilize their own talents, no one can stop them, or us collectively. Again, I will die, but we will live forever. And we is more powerful than me. That's the power of unity. So no doubt it will always be people, especially with the wide range of people throughout the world and what happened to us in slavery. It's a great or tremendous challenge for us to regroup from that collectively. And those forces are still there, those that still see us in a negative light. But even that's okay, because just the same way when you're lifting weights, the only way that you can build up yourself or build muscles, it has to be in opposition. It has to be an equal amount of weight or tension in order to develop the muscle. So that's okay. So when we get past that, when we relinquish the fact that the other person doesn't have as much power over us as we think, it says that we have no, Satan has no more power over us than we give him. So Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So if I don't allow someone to control my mind or take possession of me, they can put handcuffs on me, they can put chains on me, and still not be in possession of me as a person in terms of my inner self. I still can manage myself and rise above whatever pressure that they're putting on me mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically. And I think that once we collectively get a hold of that, then can't no one stop us. If we decided right now, the members on that panel or in the general community, that we all wanted to put we all want to put a dollar in the pot to build whatever, we could do it overnight. If we wanted to, and no one could stop us, if we chose to. If I said or you said, okay, next week, next month, we're going to all come together and we're going to all bring a certain amount of money to the table. Or how much can you bring, brother, or how much can you bring, sister, or what can you do? No one can stop us. It's a personal choice. And over the years, I went to various groups, if I may, and I really appreciate all of you really allowing me this here opportunity to express myself like this. And I think that's so nice and generous of you. And I really also enjoyed the spirit and the attitude that each of you have. You know, it's pleasant because you feel very comfortable. You're laughing and talking and you're interacting with the radio audience and among yourselves, so you can feel the warmth and the love. And there's not very many radio stations that you can call and have this amount of time to express yourself. So thank you so much, and I had to say that before I made the last end of this thought. Once,
yes, sir.
Once,
See, I believe that we have the power within ourselves. Many groups that I went to were in the habit of rationalizing weaknesses and justifying failure and blaming someone else. Well, you see, I'm like this here because the white man would give me a job. Well, see, we messed up like this here because the white man messed us up like this. Well, you see, we crazy because the white man made us crazy. And so we use that as a justification to be crazy. Well, I'm burglarizing you because the white man wouldn't give me a job. I'm shooting you down because I'm mad because the white man done me in. I'm doing this drive-by, and I'm cutting my wife, and I'm beating down my son because the white man put all this pressure on me. And we don't realize sometimes that when we reinforce that rationalization, we really do ourselves harm because we're the ones that's going to be shot and cut and burglarized and beat down by this negative rationalization that we have reinforced. So we have to encourage the person to take charge of him or herself and not rationalize fear. Fear to step out. Fear to make the effort. Fear to face the odds. Like in the Holy Quran, it says one will overcome 10, 10 will overcome 100, 100, 200, 1,000, 5,000. Literally, that's the amount of faith. The Bible says the faith of a mustard seed would be able to move mountains. A mustard seed. It's saying if you just have a little bit of faith, you'll be able to move mountains. And mountains are, in the Quran, has two different types of symbols. One is the literal mountain. And the other is social conditions or governments. So with the amount of faith of a mustard seed, just like in Egypt, we'll be able to move mountains, change whole societies. We can literally change the world. That's what the enemy feels. When we grasp that and we understand it, then they know that we got it. And they say, whoa, he's awake. They're alert. They're aware. They understand that the power is within them and not outside of themselves. Now they got it. So now we have a force to reckon with. Now, you know, they're not looking for us to change their destiny or their situation. They've taken charge of it themselves, and they realize it's in their own hands. And they don't fear us anymore. They're not intimidated by us. They're not subservient to us. You see, when we get that attitude that he or she or they or whomever it may be is just human beings just like us. That's all they are. The only thing that makes the Saudis and the various so-called kings and whatnot roar around the world is that money, because there's nothing wrong about them but that money. So if you get $10 million or you got $100 million or a billion or whatever, you'll be wrong too, you know, in the eyesight of the various people. Like right now, we got a whole bunch of celebrities. They royal in that sense, as far as money-wise, because that's the way they operate in this society. And even we've adopted that mentality, the upper class, lower class, middle class, underclass, and like they say, some with no class or ground zero. So we've even kind of taken on that attitude toward one another. And we assess our humanity based upon, just like they say, where you live, what's your address, what kind of car do you drive, what kind of clothes do you wear, and where did you get those tennis shoes, and what's the name of that shirt, all that kind of stuff. Where did you buy that watch, and it's still going to tell the same time as that $10 watch did. That $5,000 watch is going to still tell the same time that the Taylor's watch is going to tell you. But we put estimations on that. We put self-worth on that, even in our relationships. We're not thinking about faith, morality, honor, principles, dignity. We think about how much money do you have. And so when we start out with that kind of principle, men and women, when you end up in a relationship that's solely based upon materialism and there's no principles there, I think you pointed it out, sister, earlier. If faith is not above the money, if it's not above the materialism, it's going to be chaos and confusion in that relationship. If it's based upon physical attraction, it's going to be chaos and confusion in that relationship because it's going to be always somebody look better than the next person. It's going to always be somebody sound better than the next person or have more than the next person. Like if Will Smith walked into a room, he'll knock a whole bunch of people out of the box because he's a multimillionaire. If Denzel Washington come in or it's like a strip dancer, when he comes in, and I've seen women do this, and I was shocked. I was literally stunned. I've seen women lose total control when the strip dancer comes in and snatches off his shirt. And they just get to screaming and yelling and hollering and all that here kind of stuff from a physical attraction. You see, so it was, if that's what the relationship is based on, it's over before you even get started.
Brother,
again,
excuse me,
thank
what's
you
your name?
So much. Abdul Majid Askia.
Oh, okay. All right. I think you're one of my Facebook friends. Well, thank you for listening, brother. I'm sorry we're going to have to go. But please, you know, if you're interested in ever being on the panel, hit me up in my inbox.
Oh, and thank you so much. Thank all of you. I really appreciate that. That was so nice of you. You know, and again, I'd love to be a part of it, but I'm just overwhelmed with the amount of love and openness that all of you have extended.
Yes, sir. We are honored to have you, brother. Thank you so much.
Be blessed. As-salamu alaykum.
All right.
Wa alaykum
salam. I know we've run the course. Did you want to give the lineup for the rest of the week or?
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm not
going to
say anything
else. Tomorrow. Okay, well, tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m., of course, join us for Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam, hosted by Brother Jihad out of Atlanta, Georgia. That's 8 p.m. Central. On Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Fiza and Friends at 7 p.m. Central. That's our hip-hop comedy show. And then on Thursday, join me. I'm going to be talking about the lynching of Muslims, an incident in Dover, Delaware, where some Muslim college students had been lynched up there. On Friday, join us at 8 p.m. Central for a study group with Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. That begins promptly at 8 p.m. Central. And then on Saturday, we have a special broadcast. We are going to be broadcasting live featuring Student Minister Dimitri Muhammad. He's going to be in Tampa, Florida, and we're going to be on the live hookup with him from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central. He's doing a presentation on defending Farrakhan, so our schedule is going to be rearranged a little bit, but please join us for that special event. And, of course, we want to uplift and send prayers out to our dear brother Dimitri, who lost his father on Friday. But in spite of all of that, he has kept his commitment to being in Tampa on this weekend. So please, let's lift up our brother in prayer and pray his strength and the family's strength during their time of loss. And of course, on Sunday, we'll be back with Brother Vernon Muhammad at 6:30 p.m. Central with our economic development show, No Romance Without Finance. And of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem on Conscious Black Nation, and I'm going to let Brother Kareem tell you the topic, or either he's going to surprise us later. But that's the lineup for the week, and thank you all for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, well, I don't have a topic yet for next Monday. However, it will come to me as soon as I ask Allah for it. Again, I want to thank everybody.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. As always,
and
the policy act to act. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't want to forget Brother Efron and Brother Jihad. I wanted to thank them both for calling in, and I hadn't heard from Brother Efron in so long, so I hope you still listen. Love you much, and it was just such a special treat, and I didn't want to forget them, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, all right. Well, like I said, as always, the fault is the act. The act is the fact. Participate or we all dissipate. I want to thank you. This is Conscious Black Nation. Please join us again. I leave you as we came in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.